Hello and welcome to this special science podcast from the 2011 AAAS Annual Meeting in Washington, D.C. It's February 21st. I'm Robert Frederick. In this short podcast, we'll hear about new insights into the mysteries of stuttering.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Higuire, and I'm a person who stutters.
At a press conference, Jennifer McGuire joined a panel of scientists who study the mysteries of stuttering to talk about why it is that some people stutter.
I've stuttered since around, I thought I began talking, but perhaps it was more like 4 years old. My brother also stutters, and then I have a sister who is not a person who stutters.
And it is typical, says Nan Rettner, for stuttering to run in families and start when children are between age 2 and 4. Rettner heads up the Department of Hearing and Speech Sciences at the University of Maryland, College Park.
And that's what allowed people like Freud to start to speculate that it might be something in their environment or parenting that did it, that brought it on. And we know that that's not true, but the mystery of why it has an onset after children have been successful in learning language is what basically occupies all of these people's time and energy.
She says, gesturing to the rest of the panel. While there have been many hypotheses, including that stuttering is linked to left-handedness, which has also been disproved, what scientists know now is that there is indeed a genetic context. Recent brain imaging studies are also proving insightful. Luc Denil studies speech-language pathology at the University of Toronto.
What has come out of their research is a good understanding of some of the basic functional activation differences with people who stutter, as well as more recently, some strong indications that it's not just the physiology, it's also the underlying anatomy, that the brain actually looks different in people who stutter than in people who don't stutter.
But understanding the genetic contributions to those differences has been difficult. Dennis Drena is a geneticist at the U.S. National Institute on Deafness and Other Communication Disorders.
What it appears in the genes we found to date, and we have reasons to think we'll find more, but the genes we found to date all control an aspect of cell metabolism that has been actually well known and well studied by medical geneticists for 50 years, but in an extremely different context. So mutations in these genes are actually very well known to be associated with very severe, actually lethal, rare inherited diseases of children. So it was quite a surprise when we began to see mutations in people who were appeared to be otherwise normal, other than stuttering.
But with the mutations in the fatal disease being ones that completely eliminate the function of the genes.
Essentially, all of the people who stutter don't have that kind of a mutation. They have what's called a missense mutation in the gene, and we found a number of different missense mutations, although there are a couple that seem to be much more common.
Even so, Drena says, it's only a rough guess that maybe half of stuttering is due to things that are inherited within a family. The other half could be environmental factors.
The funny thing about stuttering is that a person can be fluent for long periods of time, show no signs of stuttering, and then suddenly start stuttering.
Ann Smith of Purdue University studies the interface between linguistic and motor processing.
There certainly are environmental factors involved. That's why we think it's really important to intervene early on. That's why many parents are simply told, don't worry about it, it'll go away. Well, that's true for a lot of kids, but for some it won't.
With one environmental factor, how others react to a stutterer, causing stress.
When stuttering starts, we've seen reactivity in children within the week.
Again, Nan Rettner of the University of Maryland, College Park.
Often, stuttering is mimicked by repeating things over and over again. But in fact, the most painful part of stuttering for most people is what's called blocking, when you open your mouth to try and say something and nothing comes out. For a typically fluent speaker, that's the kind of scenario you would only hit in a nightmare. And so within the week, often in some cases of very little children who have no real social fears of anything, they are so stressed trying to talk. And society doesn't give them a lot of guidance at this point.
And so the panelists say the professional guidance at this point is to manage stuttering, and there are several ways to do it. There is no cure, except for the 75% of children between age 2 and 4 who, for some reason, outgrow stuttering. But researchers are looking into mouse models to better understand it.
So what we're really looking for,
again, geneticist Dennis Drena,
is to see if we can find what us geneticists would call a phenotype. That is an outward manifestation of the fact that these animals are carrying a mutation in these particular genes. So if we get a phenotype, if we get some sort of alteration, then that opens up an enormous realm, because the mouse is, of course, the standard laboratory, mammalian laboratory organism. It's the standard model, and it is susceptible to a tremendous variety of manipulations that geneticists and neuroscientists can do. So we don't know how far this is going to go until we see whether we have a phenotype yet or not. But we have a lot of mutations, and we're making mice for all of them.
Which could be a lot of mice, Drena says, because there could be a lot of genes involved. So far, they've found various mutations in 3 genes.
At the moment, we have no idea. I mean, the genetic studies of stuttering that have taken place over decades have told us there will be a lot of genes involved. What does a lot mean? Well, let's see. There are 168 genes that cause deafness. So I guess in the worst case scenario, that's what we could be looking at. But it's possible that it's a smaller number of genes. But the short answer is we just don't know. But I think it's likely we have to be prepared for a number of different genes to track down here as we go.
But Jennifer McGuire is encouraged by the progress so far.
I've been in all kinds of speech therapy throughout my whole life. I'm 30, and I've done tons of different therapies. Being pregnant now and knowing that there is some genetic component, I'm just so excited by the possibility of what my fellow panelists are researching, because it would be great if my child ends up being a person who stutters but is able to have it be less mysterious and have access to effective therapies at an earlier stage in life.
This has been a special science podcast and concludes our coverage from the 2011 AAAS annual meeting in Washington, D.C. Special thanks to Kathleen O'Neill for her work on this show. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write us at sciencepodcast@aaas.org. The show is a production of Science Magazine. Jeffrey Cook composed the music, and I'm Robert Frederick. On behalf of Science Magazine and its publisher, AAAS, the Science Society, thanks for joining us.